Welcome back in hour number two of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porter with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Streaming live on Periscope, on YouTube, and on Twitch as well. Gonna have Predators assistant coach Dan Lambert joining us later this hour at 7:30. Jamie Watson, Nashville SC analyst at 8 o'clock. Tim Corbin, Vandy baseball coach, coming your way at 9 o'clock. And Hal Gill, Predators radio analyst at 9:30 as well.
Before we get into this, my own personal text line, Katie, my wife Katie, just sent me a Facebook post with a black snake that has a copperhead in its coils.
Well, that sounds terrifying.
And this, my friends, I don't even know who this post is from. And this, someone in Nolensville, wonderful. This, my friends, is why you don't kill black snakes, because they patrol other vermin in your yards.
There you go.
I'm not going home today.
Was that in your yard?
I don't think so, but okay. Close enough.
Yeah, that is close.
Did you know this? Apparently.
Yeah.
Black snakes will go get the bad snakes. Huh?
Yeah. That's what they say.
All right.
I don't know that I've ever seen one until maybe I need to watch that video.
I mean, look at this picture.
I see it. There you go.
Okay.
Thank you for that update, Joe Rexroad.
There's nothing I hate more than snakes.
Today's wildlife update provided by Joe Rexroad here on the program.
Freaked out now.
You should be.
Not going to be able to do the rest of the show.
The Predators taking on the Carolina Hurricanes tonight, Joe. Winners of 13 out of their last 16 games. And look, it's been incredible to watch, and we know UC Saros has been the main part of this driving forward with the Predators. He has been sensational. I mean, he's given himself, you know, going from starting the season off for a save percentage in the 880s to now it's above 930. I mean, he's played extremely well for this group. So we know when you start listing off players responsible for the run that the Predators have been on as of late, he's at the top of the list. As you look around the rest of the lineup and the injuries that have taken place, the young players that have come in, what's the other player that you think you would give the most credit to? Beyond Saros, beyond the goaltending, what other player do you give the most credit to for the run that they've been on?
Okay, so we're asking who gets the most credit now or who must sustain it for it
well,
to
we're
going to
do both. I want to start
both.
Now.
See, the fact that it's tough to answer that, I think, is a credit to the collective play they've had.
But I would agree.
But I'm going to go Yossi.
Yeah.
He's just, like, every once in a while he'll be like, okay, yeah, everybody move
I'm
out of the way.
He's going to take over.
But he does that. You know, we know. We know, you know, I mean, you know, he's a Norris winner. I mean, he does everything well. And I think Hal Gill had great points, I think, on this show earlier, and we're going to have him later, but today. But the point of, you know, it's that whole, like, get outside yourself and try to, like, do too much and be outside the system, and then you're not really helping.
Right.
Whereas you come back from injury and it's like, okay, there's some stuff that's been figured out. Now I can kind of pick my spots, and it seems like he's doing that very effectively right now.
Roman Josi has 19 points in his last 20 games, and that is – that's about right where you thought he would be, you know, based on the pace that he had last year. I mean, he's obviously his primary job is a defender, and he's doing that really well right now. But it does feel like he has picked up his game to the point where it's pretty much where it was last season, where he won the Norris Trophy. Now, he's not going to win the Norris Trophy this year, and he's probably not even going to be a finalist this year just based on the injury that he had and the way the season has gone up until this point. But he is playing every bit as well right now as he did last year. I would give the edge to Josi as well. Although I do think you can make an argument for a Mikhail Granlund. Like, I think he's played really well. We've talked about that in terms of, you know, listing out reasons to keep Granlund around. It was never about his play. Like, he's been really good for the Predators since he's come in here. Granlund, I think, has been a stabilizing force. I still don't think he's as big of a driver of things as Roman Josi is. I mean, you're talking about an elite player in this league with Roman Josi. But I do think Granlund deserves a lot of credit for being able to come into the middle and play down the middle at center and stabilize things. I think he's done an awesome, awesome job.
And I'd throw Ekholm in there as
Agreed.
A guy who's been so good. And it's interesting that two of the three guys are – you know, the two guys who were most talked about on the block. I don't necessarily think there's any correlation. They're both really good players. And, again, Granlund, has been a different player under John Hines going back to last year. But Ekholm, I almost feel like Ekholm, there's maybe a little bit more of an edge even because of all this stuff. And maybe, and who, hey, you could look at it like I'm going to play my butt off and get out of Nashville. I don't think that's what it is.
No, neither.
It's probably the other way around. But some of that was like if the team success continued the way it was, and, you know, that's out of your hands at some point as a player.
So now you look at this roster and hopefully at some point getting some injured players back. If the Predators are going to continue this, if they're going to continue maybe not winning 13 out of every 16, but continue the run that they're on right now where they're obviously playing much better and they look like a completely different team, which player, in your opinion, is most important to that as they move forward here, as they try to make a push towards the playoffs?
Well, so the three guys we just mentioned, to me, I think you don't worry about them. I mean, I think that they are playing – they're not playing above their heads, right? Is that my computer that's making noise? It may be. No, I don't think it is, but I muted it anyway. To me, I like Arvidsson's surge recently makes you think about him, and, man, if they had that Arvidsson the rest of the way, what would that mean? So I definitely gave that consideration, but I'm going to go with Ryan Johansson. I mean, I just – we know what he's capable of. We know what he can do, and I think he's playing pretty well lately. I think he can play at a higher level, and I think if he finds it, and guys come back healthy, and some and the overall way they're playing continues, that's an interesting team.
I would agree. Like, I think you can go a couple different ways with this. Like, Philip Forsberg, to me, if he comes back in and he's a point-per-game guy again, like, you're feeling great about that if you're the Predators moving forward. I mean, some people would vote for, I think, Elie Tolvanen in this. You come back in, you're lethal on the power play, and he continues to play the way that he played before he was injured. I think there are a few different ways you can go with it, but to me, like, I don't worry about Josi. I don't worry about Granlund. I don't worry about Ekholm. I don't really worry about Ellis. I think they're all going to be really good. Can you find a consistent production level out of those two guys we talk about all the time? It's Matt Duchene and Ryan Johansson. I mean, those guys have got to know, like, it's time for their standpoint, I think, to change the narrative a little bit. I think Johansson is starting to. I'm not saying that he's not in danger, like, in terms of what his future could look like here, but I do think he's playing better as of late. I mean, he looked like vintage Nashville Predators Ryan Johansson the other night against Tampa Bay. He was awesome in the faceoff circle. He was getting to the front of the net. He had a couple of good looks, and he was distributing the puck really well. I mean, the pass he made to Arvidsson on the 2-on-1 was sensational. I mean, that's the type of play that he makes when he's on his game. So I think you can be encouraged if you're a Predators fan that there are signs there coming from him. There needs to be a high level of urgency from Matt Duchene when he comes back in. I would expect that there will be, just based on everybody else and the way that the team has bought in, but there needs to be a high level of urgency when Duchene comes back in. I realize it's early in the contract and it's early in the relationship to just totally punt on things, I think, unless, you know, that's the decision you've got to make at the expansion draft. But I think Duchene's got to be able to read the room a little bit and realize, you know, the production does not line up with the money that you're being paid. There needs to be a high level of urgency from him when he comes back.
So here's my question on Duchene. Obviously, like you said, production ultimately tells the story. But is it more important that Duchene comes in, you know, produces goal, you know, chances and goals, or is there a certain level of, like, defensive responsibility that he didn't have previously that now needs to be attained? I don't know.
Well, I think it's a little bit of both. I'm more talking about production. Like, you need to go. So, like, I don't think Matt Duchene is ever going to be the guy that just shuts people down on the other end. Like, I think Ryan Johansson's got a little bit of that in him. I think he can shut people down. I don't really view Duchene the same way, which is fine. Like, not everybody, not every center has to be like this defensive juggernaut out there. But if you're not, you better be scoring. You better be producing. And that to me has got to be the next step for Matt Duchene. And look, I agree with you to a degree. I think especially early in the season, he was playing very well. He was generating chances, and he had some of the worst luck that I've seen. I mean, some of the saves goaltenders made on him, the posts that he hit, I mean, it was a run of bad luck. I did think he fell off right before he got hurt and was not playing as well. before he got hurt. That can't happen. Like, you've got to come back in, and you've got to bring a consistent level to your game every single night. And that, to me, has got to be the next step for him moving forward. Let's go to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a text that says, do we as a fan base criminally undervalue Slow Joe just because we're so focused on the stats? The 16-game streak started right after Slow Joe went after Dickinson for the dirty hit on Yossi, and 2 games after the score five goals, Kara Hammer interview, and now they're vibing, Robbie. Do the Predators fan base, do we in the media, undervalue Slow Joe?
Go score five goals.
We're vibing, Robbie.
Two big moments
this season. Oh, there's no birthday party for me here.
Nice mute. That was good. Way to go. All righty. There we go. Way to go, Rectro.
God, I'm all flustered. I just thought about that. I'm like, I wanted to apologize to Slow Joe. And understand that that is a high compliment.
Sure.
That you would be Sean Penn's rendition of Spicoli. Yeah, exactly. It's a much higher compliment than being the Ryan Reynolds of sports talk radio.
That's right.
What was the question?
Well, do the fan base, do we in the media undervalue Johansson because we focus too much on the stats and you don't focus as much on what he brings to the table on the all-around game?
I don't remember what his stats were in the bubble, but that's the dude. I don't remember what his stats were in the first round against, or really that whole playoff run in 2017, but that's the dude. It's not about the stats. It's about what he's capable of doing.
Now, he was a point-per-game player in both of those instances, but yes, I hear what you're saying.
Okay. Well, then the stats were good too. But to me, the stats follow what you're seeing either at the rink or on the screen. I mean, you know his top level. It's very high. He has a very high ceiling. And so I don't think that's true. I don't think that the media fans are undervaluing him or over-criticizing him. There's a high standard that he has set. You set the bar somewhere.
Well, he's talked about it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he was watching film of himself last year during the pause trying to figure out what the heck is going on. So, hey, it's not easy. It's not easy to reach that level, I'm sure, but he can do it.
We'll continue this discussion when we come back, taking your thoughts on our text line as well. Driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Also, get into the Preds coming up against Carolina, a huge matchup both today and on Saturday. What do we need to see out of this group against the Hurricanes team that they've struggled with all season long? All that coming up. And speaking of the Preds, make sure you're tuning in later on in the show as we reveal a keyword for you to text into the game line for your chance to win the T-Mobile Hockey Homegate giveaway, a Dos Equis prize pack, including a case of beer, dessert from Nothing But Cakes, a T-Mobile prize pack, and food provided by 312 Pizza Company in Germantown. We'll have that opportunity coming up later in the show. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
We're vibing, Robbie. Vibing. 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 Vibin, 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 vibe, 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 vibe. We're vibin, Robbie.
Yeah, baby. Predators vibin heading into the matchup tonight against the Carolina Hurricanes. Winners of 13 out of their last 16 games, including a demolition of the defending Stanley Cup champions the other night in Tampa Bay, 7-2. And the Predators now with a huge couple of games coming up against Carolina. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming live on Periscope, on YouTube, and on Twitch as well. Did you see that video yesterday the Predators put out? The vibing video that they've now
that went
together?
With that?
Yes,
with that,
that went with that. It was pretty awesome.
It was beautiful.
Like, at some point,
I want to know who did it.
I do too. Like, at some point, this needs to become like a mantra for the team. Like, just the whole thing.
By the way,
we're getting close to it.
What if some of them are sick of it, though? This could tear the team apart. You may actually ruin this season,
Robbie. I could do it.
Did y'all see the comments from San Francisco Giants catcher Kurt Casale yesterday?
No.
No, I
even tagged you in the tweet.
I missed it.
Let me find it. Hold on. No, this
sounds fascinating.
Did he talk about vibing?
Yes, this is phenomenal. Then Kurt Casale, who played for Vanderbilt, is a Predators fan. Goes to Preds games all the time during the offseason. Kurt Casale on the 8-4 Giants. By the way, they won 2 of 3 from the Reds. Kurt Casale said, as the kids say, we're vibing out there.
Oh, yeah. Now we're getting into other sports. This is how it's done. Going from the Preds now to Major League Baseball. Now we need to get it on with the Titans when they come back.
Man, yeah. What if the Titans wanted to vibe too?
What if Tannehill in his first press conference starts talking about vibing?
When did vibing as a verb start? Who started it?
Ryan Johansson.
Ryan Johansson, Sunday night.
No, I've heard it before.
Yeah, I don't know.
But it's like kind of recent, though.
It is.
It's kind of recent. Like, it's kind of like a, like, you know, when I was young, we'd say, like, that's rad.
Did you?
Or that's, you know, totally tubular or yeah. whatever.
What?
Yeah.
I'm not kidding.
You know how
I'm rad for sure. Serious. That's
you know
radical,
how the,
man.
How the Titans at training camp have the saying like from good to great.
Yeah.
Maybe it just says vibing.
Maybe so.
Is that okay? Like, can you have two different professional teams in the same town?
Yeah.
Share a slogan? Sure. You think so?
Yeah.
We've been called the It City. Maybe we're the Vibe City.
Yeah. Maybe so. They're going to try to continue that vibe tonight against Carolina. They're 0-3-1, Joe. Against the Hurricanes so far this season. So, I mean, the obvious answer is, hey, you'd like to see the Predators keep winning and get points on this trip in Carolina. It's in terms of the matchup itself, what do you want to see for the Predators? What do you need to see to convince yourself that, hey, this team really does have a shot in the playoffs, whether it is Carolina, whether it is Tampa Bay, coming up in the next couple of games against the Hurricanes?
Well, I'm just that they keep playing the same way. And I guess – want to see if playing the same way works mm-hmm. against Carolina. You know, you gotta be real careful. I think it was someone made the point in the show this week. You know, it was Matt, and we're gonna have some. Well, we'll play the sound of Duchesne on that. But I mean, it was a very interesting point. Basically, like they force you to, like they're aggressive. They yep. they gamble, so you can get chances out of that, but then so can they. You know,
yeah.
Like you've really got to handle that heat.
And Matt Duchesne joined us on Wednesday talking about the matchup with the Hurricanes and kind of how specifically you've got to make really high-level plays against Carolina. Here's what Predators forward Matt Duchesne had to say.
Yeah, Carolina is a funny team. When you play them, you don't even it doesn't even feel like you're playing the same sport sometimes as when you're playing a lot of other teams. They just play a very different style. You know, there's not a lot of time and space. They're fast. Yeah, they're a very strange team, and you kind of gotta they come at you like crazy. And if you make a couple good plays, you get grade A scoring chances. But you know they make you make good plays. So I think you know the big thing for us. I think the confidence that we have right now with the plays we're making and the things we're doing. I think it's a team that we haven't matched up great against this year. But I think we're ready to you know kind of slay that dragon so to speak.
So that was Matt Duchesne talking about the matchup with Carolina. And it was interesting. He said, you know, at times it feels like you're almost playing a different sport out there. And they really force you to make some high-level plays, some high-execution plays. He said, now, if you make them, you can get some grade-A looks against Carolina. But you've really got to work to make those plays. That's interesting to me. And look, I mean, Rod Brind'Amour has come in and has done a fantastic job with that group. They play really fast. They skate really fast, too, and there's a difference. Like, you can play fast without really necessarily having the fastest team skating. They do both, and that makes them really difficult to contain. You've got Aho. You've got Svechnikov there as well. I mean, you've got so many players that are really – I mean, even a guy like Jordan Staal. I mean, he's not the same player he used to be, but he's really important to what they do there. The Predators have not really fared well at all against Carolina this year. Now, this is a different team, and this is a different – Predators feel to it. Can you come out in this game and be competitive right from the jump? Can you, you know, disrupt what Carolina does in the neutral zone? I mean, Carolina in these matchups against the Predators, for the most part, they've had the puck the whole game. Like, that can't happen. Like, if you're the Predators, you've got to find a way to even out that zone time a little bit better.
Yeah, some of it is just like what they're doing. Is it matchup proof? You know, if you play this game that the Preds are playing night after night with a lot of the same elements, does that work against these guys? I mean, you know, you got to have great goaltending, you got to be smart with the puck, you got to cut down the mistakes, you got to keep hitting everything in sight. So I don't know. I would suspect that if you play it exactly how you want to play it, it will work, but it hasn't looked good. So this is another chance, I think, to show a big contrast between this season, this 16-game season, which is a completely, so far, different season than the first
yeah.
check my math, games. 35
a lot of games? Sure.
Yeah. 30? No, it wouldn't be 35.
20-something.
Yeah, thank
you.
There you go. All right.
Let's go to the text line.
Two different seasons.
Driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a Matt from the borough texted in. I work in a high school. Kids say something is a vibe or something is a mood when they don't know exactly how to describe a feeling. It's something you kind of feel in your gut.
Right, but that's vibe as a noun. Like vibe as a noun.
They could say that's a vibe.
Yeah, that's
they're vibing.
I mean, you could probably go back and say, like, I got a good vibe in, like, the 60s, and, like, it's groovy, man.
Yeah.
But vibing as a verb.
Yeah.
That's different. That's what you and Ryan are in your big merchandise enterprise you're starting together.
That's correct.
That's what you guys are talking about.
We're vibing, Robbie.
Let's go to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com.
Learning about Cuba, having some food.
Nate texted in, the Titans need to go from vibe to vibing next season. So taking next step. Going,
vibe to vibe? Did he say vibrant? What?
Vibing. So taking that next step from going from good to great, now going from vibe to vibing.
Andrew on the text line said going from good vibes to great vibes.
There you go. There's a lot of things you can do with this as we move forward. This is not going anywhere. I know Predators fans, some of them are already tired of it. Some of them love it.
I mean, I hope Vegan's listening. I hope
Angry
listening,
Preds Vegan. Fan on Twitter was really tired of it yesterday, and the Preds official account tweeted back at him and said, you really live up to your Twitter handle. It was pretty good. Wow. I enjoyed that.
I like that. I like when the official accounts get a little back and forth going.
Speaking of the Nashville Predators, when we come back, we'll be joined by Predators assistant coach Dan Lambert. We'll look ahead to the matchup against Carolina with him. That's coming up. But right now, I've got to tell you about my friends at FanDuel Sportsbook. And one of the things I love about betting on basketball is I'm always finding new player props or game props that I like. And what's cool about FanDuel Sportsbook is you can combine these props with other bets from the same game to score an even bigger payout. And it's called a same-game parlay bet that you can only find on FanDuel. You can combine the first basket score, the point spread, the money line, rebounds, any way you want to take it. There are many options on the FanDuel Sportsbook. So if you haven't tried it yet, new users get a risk-free bet on the FanDuel Sportsbook up to $1,000. Just place a bet and FanDuel will refund you up to $1,000 back in site credit if you don't win. And right now, new and existing users can get up to $25 in site credit back each day if your parlay falls one leg short with same-game parlay insurance. You heard that right, every single day. That's why I bet on FanDuel. So just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app today to try a same-game parlay and use promo code ROB at sign-up. That promo code is ROB. You must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Refund issued is non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. A max refund of $25. Terms apply. See sportsbook.fanduel.com for details. And for problem gambling support, call 1-800-889-9789. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. The Nashville Predators taking on the Carolina Hurricanes tonight, and a huge matchup coming up for the Predators. And I think a lot to prove still for the Predators against the Hurricanes. As I said in the last segment, 0-3-1 against Carolina this year. So hoping for a turnaround tonight if you're the Nashville Predators. And speaking of that game, make sure you're tuning in later this morning at 8:45 for your chance to participate in Preds Pick to Click and win a prize pack brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. The listeners, Joe, have taken the lead in the competition. The listeners now at 7 correct answers. You're at 6. Ryan Porth is at 2. And I am still at 1. I think what we hope for is, like, apparently if the Predators score 7 goals in a game, the three of us just have no chance to get anything right.
Right. We need we need 1-0, and it's might be better for us somehow.
It's my goal. Be better for us. That's it. The only goal.
Don't be down on the one. Remember, the one was a big thing. So, you know, it's still.
Yeah,
it's
I mean, like, look, I'm still happy.
You're right.
I was worried the whole season I was just going to get shut out. And now that I'm not going to get shut out, I'm a lot less concerned about it.
You're still right there with Porth.
I'm right there with Porth. I know that he feels like he's got this insurmountable lead right now, but he doesn't. It took Porth 35 games to get back on the board.
Kind of feels insurmountable.
I love how he's talking. He's talking four trash. Behind you. Yeah. Five behind
I'm coming
the
for you, Joe.
Yeah, I thought you were coming for me. Okay. Well, here you go. I mean,
you don't have a whole lot of time, man.
How many more chances are there? There's 12 games left, right?
Yeah.
How many of them are in the week?
We might have to continue this into the playoffs so that I have more time to catch you.
Can't change the rules?
Can we? I mean, I'm
cool going in the playoffs, yeah.
Okay.
Maybe that's when I make the comeback. It's in the playoffs. Preds Pick to Click.
I was going to make a vibing joke, but I got nothing.
Got nothing for it? Okay. All right. Apparently, this is stemmed from TikTok. Like, TikTok is the – I mean, Paul has texted in on our text line. driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, saying, you know, it's a song from Kendrick Lamar back in the day. There's, I think it was Brandy on Twitter, talked about TikTok being Brandy, the source of the vibing right now.
Yeah, Brandy says, I'm pretty sure vibing's from TikTok trend. My students use it all the time, and I believe me, I know about kids and their TikTok. Oh, my gosh. So I actually looked it up, UrbanDictionary.com, with the kids these days, what the kids say.
That could be dangerous.
Vibing. Okay. One, hanging, doing nothing, chilling, or two, listening to music.
There you go.
That actually doesn't sound like winning hockey, but
it does now. They got to add a third definition.
That's right. Feeling a vibe. Riding a vibe.
Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Steven texts in. This may have already come up, but the Beach Boys song Good Vibrations comes to mind. We talked about that a little bit yesterday.
Oh, we were rocking all the vibes songs yesterday.
That, I think that's becoming the new victory anthem here on the show.
Yeah.
Good Vibrations.
By the Beach Boys?
Well, Marky Mark. And the Beach Boys.
Yeah, right. Marky Mark.
And
I like that version better. I'll be honest with you.
Good Vibes by
Marky Mark.
Good Vibes by Chris Jansen. Your favorite, Joe?
Yeah.
I vote for the Beach Boys, especially so I can get.
You a hater of Wahlberg?
Coke. I like Mark Wahlberg as an actor.
Okay. Not a fan of Marky Mark and the Funky Bunch.
I mean, as a funny thing, sure.
Okay.
They're funny. I mean, that was around the same time as Color Me Bad, Gerardo, New Kids on the Block, because, of course, his brother was a New Kids on the Block.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you like that sort of thing.
You're very.
It's funny.
I've learned you are very difficult to impress in the musical genre.
Okay. Okay. Fine. But you cannot say that you are like a musical snob if you make fun of New Kids on the Block.
No, I'm not saying that.
Come on.
But it's not like that's the only thing you make fun of.
Well, Creed sucks. Sorry.
Yeah.
I mean,
Blink 182.
They suck.
They don't suck.
They absolutely.
Every
suck.
Every time you talk about this, we have like 1,000 people texting in on the text line. Just killing
now
you
for I'm
it.
On here. Let's go. Bring it on. Oh, it's buzzing at me.
Exactly.
No, actually, that was my wife texting me.
There you go. Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a texture that says, thoughts on Tomasino's call-up. 3 to 5 games to get his feet wet and feel the vibe, or do you think they'll burn a year on his entry-level contract? Now, if you missed it yesterday, Philip Tomasino has been recalled to the taxi squad. So I would assume he's going to play, but I don't know. That's an interesting question. Like, the matchup is different because I think you look at this if you're a Predators fan and think to yourself, okay, well, how could you take anybody out of the lineup right now? But Carolina is fast. They are really fast, and Philip Tomasino can skate.
Well, what's the number of games this year for the entry-level contract to kick in? Isn't it seven?
I think it's seven. Yeah.
I think it's seven.
Yeah.
So
he'll play 6 games?
Sure.
Is it possible, because it totally lines up with the matchup, but is it possible that the timing could it be related to an injury that's not going as well
Maybe.
As they hope? Like
Maybe.
A Tolvin, I mean, you know, throwing out speculation.
I mean,
but,
heck, at this point, could somebody we don't know about be hurt?
Well, that's
I
true,
mean,
too.
That absolutely could be on the table. I mean, the way this season's gone, that absolutely could be on the table. So I don't know. Like,
right.
I hope he gets in. Look, you talk about something to be excited about moving forward. He's got 20 points in 18 games at the AHL level. He wasn't even supposed to be in the American Hockey League this year, and he's lighting it up. I mean, you got to feel great about that if you're David Poile on the Predators.
And if you're a Preds fan who was excited about this youth movement idea, and however it came about, and now to get a chance to see Tomasino in important games, it's kind of exciting.
Yeah. I mean, As fun as it's been to watch Elie Tolvanen, and we talked about his development, and everybody develops at different rates, and you've got different skill sets. Like, Elie Tolvanen was never even close to a point-per-game guy at the American League level. And I realize it's a really small sample size with Tomasino. You're talking 18 games. But 20 points in 18 games? Like, I'm thrilled about that.
That's promising.
If I'm a Predators fan.
That's promising. Yeah, that'd be a lot of fun to see him out there. And, I mean, we joke about vibing, but, I mean, they're in a spot right now where, you know, you bring someone new in, and I feel like they'd be set up for success as much as you could. It's still totally different level, and you don't know how it's going to go, but kind of a good time to do it, if you have to do it.
Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Ryan in Nashville texts in, "We are vibing, and Joe needs to learn what good music bands are. Blink-182 is a great band." Thank you, Ryan. We appreciate it.
Yeah, okay.
Just no response from you.
Yeah, okay, Ryan. Whatever. I don't know. I mean, I can't.
I wanted to read it to confirm the point that every time you do this, the people are going to take issue with it.
All the small things. So bad.
That's another
don't
reason
get
I
me
want
started.
Anytime we can get Rextro singing on the show, I'm absolutely here for it.
The fake punk band.
So let's say Tomasino's in tonight, and for the sake of this discussion, everybody's still healthy. Who are you taking out? Like, you going to take out Tanner Janot right now?
Heck no.
Janot, I'm not.
Yeah. Taking out Trennan? I don't think so.
I mean, you're not messing with that line, right? Until Olivier comes
back.
You
just put up 7 goals. I don't really know how you're messing with any line if everybody's healthy. So is he just going to be on the taxi squad hanging out with the team for a few days, or is he going to play?
That would be my best guess. Unless
why do that?
Well, I don't know.
Well, I guess maybe you could bring him with you in case like somebody gets hurt in Carolina, and you could play him on Saturday if you needed to.
Play him in the next game.
But I don't know. It's interesting to me, timing of it.
The more more I think about it, you probably hit it with somebody else's hurt that we don't know about right now.
Because these injuries have been popping up more than, you know, the game whack-a-mole. I mean,
like when Tolvanen got hurt, we found out, you know, 20 minutes before warm-ups.
Exactly.
And I picked him, and Preds picked a click that night, so I was bitter about it.
Should we do Preds pick to click who's injured?
Maybe so.
Or we just wait until Preds pick to click, you know, we do it at 5:45 tonight.
Yeah, or just live stream it.
Or we can pretty much guarantee that someone we pick in Preds pick to click will not play.
Will not play. Yeah. Yes. Hey, I don't know. It's just interesting. Like if everyone is healthy and is still, I mean, not everyone, but the people that we expect to be healthy, if all of them are healthy,
Cousins.
Like maybe
take out a Cousins.
Maybe so. But maybe that's the way you go. Like, I don't know how you could take out anybody on that fourth line right now.
No, that line.
Whatever line you call it, you know, the identity line that David Poile calls it, the beast line that Hal Gill calls it, the herd line.
Kara Hammer gets credit.
I agree.
The herd line.
There are three different names.
That's genius.
And even with Olivier out, the herd line still works because I forget exactly what town Tanner Janot is from, but it's got an ox in it. So it keeps going.
All due respect to you and Slow Joe, I think that Kara Hammer's naming of the herd line is cooler than Vibin'.
Oxbow, Saskatchewan. Tanner Janot is from.
Brilliant.
So you've got the Yak, the Colt, the Biloxi Bull, and now the Ox from Oxbow, Saskatchewan.
That's amazing.
This could not work out any better. Do we think that's the reason Tanner Janot got the call up?
Yes.
And Ox is accurate, too.
Yeah. He's out there just crushing people.
You cannot take 84 out. He scored a goal. He's got a ticket to the lineup the rest of the year.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely. Genie.
Don't you know? Tanner Janot.
Good effort, Porth. Way to go. We'll continue the discussion on the Nashville Predators when we come back. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. And 1025 The Game is kicking off every weekend with some free beer.
Free beer!
And who doesn't love free beer? Make sure you're tuning in all day on Friday for your chance to win a $25 gift card from Bavarian Beer House located at Opry Mills Mall. That opportunity coming up tomorrow here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We'll be right back on Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game as well. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. The Predators taking on the Carolina Hurricanes tonight. They are vibing. They've won 13 out of their last 16 games. And to help us talk more about that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Predators assistant coach Dan Lambert. Dan, what's going on, man? How are we doing?
Hey, doing great. Sorry about that, guys. I was a little late.
That's all good. All good here. Mm-hmm. And Dan, taking on the Hurricanes tonight, winners of 13 out of your last 16 games. What stood out to you about the play as of late? How have you guys been able to turn this around as dramatically as you have been?
Well, you know, I think it first and foremost starts with the work ethic that we've inserted into our game. I think the forwards, the way that they've committed to just being committed to the team game, tracking, forechecking, The way that we've committed to defense, I think it's just been a total buy-in. Obviously, when all of that, you need good goaltending, which we've had. Our special teams have taken it to another level. And I think confidence is set in, and guys feel really good about themselves, about their game, and about how we as a team have to play to have success.
So, Dan, if we took, you know, you mentioned the term buy-in, you know, you can call it energy, effort, just the what you guys are looking for as coaches, that those intangibles that where you maximize what you're doing on the ice. If it's 100 now, what was it in the first part of the season?
Well, I don't know. I don't even want to go back to those days, but I know it wasn't where it needed to be. So, you know, ultimately, it probably, you know, we had a few injuries, and what happened is we had a few young guys that came in and played with that energy and played with that commitment because, well, for many reasons, they were playing for their lives. They wanted to prove that they could play in the NHL, and I think that's kind of what started it, and then everybody just kind of jumped on board, and that's what we get, and that's where we're at now, and that's where we want to continue to grow from there.
Is there a game or maybe even an off-ice moment that stands out to you where you felt, okay, this is flipping?
Well, it seemed like it started to turn on the road trip. On that long, I think it was an 8-game, 16-day road trip or something like that. And I think that's where we started to see, and it was against all the top teams, and we started playing this more committed game, the team. And I think from there, and you know, we had tons of injuries to very key players, and I think that's where the kind of, it seemed like the switch clicked, like, oh, wow, if we play this way, we might have success, and then it just kind of grew from there. That's what it seemed like to me.
Predators assistant coach Dan Lambert on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And Dan, a popular topic of conversation this week here on the show has been Tanner Jeannot coming in and playing the way that he has, both physically, gets the goal the other night against Tampa Bay as well. And that line of Sissons, Trennan, and Jeannot, formerly, you know, Olivier on that line as well, how much credit do those guys deserve in terms of helping this team kind of establish the identity that you guys have apparently found now?
Well, I mean, I think they deserve probably most of the credit, to be honest with you. You know, it has been an identity that probably lacked over the last while, and you could probably even go to last season. You know, we didn't have that identity. All of a sudden, you've got, you know, Sis, who has totally bought into that role, and you know, we've been very fortunate with Trennan, Olivier, or Jeannot now. Those guys have just come in, and it seems like every game they give us momentum. If we've lost momentum, they give it back to us. If we have it, they take it another step further, and they've instilled this this forechecking game that, you know, quite honestly, I don't think if I was a D-man on the other team, I'd really enjoy playing against. So it's just been, so, you know, to answer your question, I think they certainly deserve a lot of credit.
So, Dan, this matchup with Carolina, it has not gone well to here, but, you know, again, it's like it feels like a totally different season back then versus now, and obviously you guys just made a little statement against Tampa Bay the other night, really played two really good games against them. So what is the key? How different is this matchup from other matchups that you have in this season? And what's the key to changing things around against these guys?
Well, for us, we feel that Tampa Bay and Carolina play a very similar game in the sense that they're skating teams, they track hard. They have great gaps. So our we feel like our mentality from Tampa Bay to Carolina probably doesn't have to change much. We are going to have to be better on the power play tonight than we were on the week, you know, against Tampa, which is going to be for sure one of the keys. But in saying that, we need to continue to play the way we're playing. That's the biggest I think for us, that's we don't need to adjust to them as much as we want to continue to play the way we're playing.
And Dan, you're captain right now in Roman Josi. He's got 19 points in his last 20 games. We know what type of player he is, obviously, winning the Norris Trophy last year. We talked to Hal Gill a few times, and he said maybe earlier in the year Josi was trying to do too much, like things weren't going well on the ice, and maybe he was trying to take over a little bit too much. And now with the way the team is playing around him, he's just settled into his game, and he looks like the Roman Josi that is a Norris Trophy candidate, a Norris Trophy winner. What are you seeing out of your captain as of late, and do you buy into that now he is in a much more comfortable spot than maybe he was earlier this year?
Yeah, well, Hal's 100% right that Roman, and we just talked about that the other day, he was trying to do too much. And I think the hardest thing to, after winning a Norris, is now you know, oh, I just won the Norris. Now it's thinking you have to do more than what you actually did, you know, the season before. And the fact that I think Roman got hurt, we started playing this committed game, and then he comes in, and well, of course he's going to make us better, you know. He's a Norris Trophy winner, and what Roman has done now is he's just kind of calmed his game down, and I think he's playing a simpler game, and with the simplicity and the way that our forwards are playing and tracking and committed, he's been able to elevate his game offensively, which has been, you know, really cool to see and a lot more fun for him as well.
So, Dan, do you guys as a coaching staff have confidence then that when some of the other guys who are hurt, who are certainly, I think, going to be right back in the lineup when they come back, that they are going to be able to just adapt to how the team is playing and it'll be seamless?
Well, you certainly hope that's the case. It's not always the case. That's going to be up to the individuals to come back and show that same commitment that the other players have. And, you know, like you mentioned, I mean, I think prior to us being committed like we have been, we thought we were more of a skilled team than we were, and we were kind of caught in between. But I think, you know, when you work the way we have in the last, whatever it's been, over a month, and if we just can continue to do that, and if our skilled guys come back and they can buy into that, they should be able to make us a better team for sure.
Predators assistant coach Dan Lambert on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Dan, last thing for you here. Obviously, I mean, we've gone through this entire conversation right now without bringing up the goaltending that you've gotten, and UC Soros has just been unbelievable as of late. How much confidence, when your goalie's playing that way, how much confidence does that give the rest of the team? How much, I guess, carry over into other aspects of the game can that give your team when your goaltender is playing the way that UC has as of late?
Well, I mean, they're the backbone of the team, and you know, you don't have to be afraid to make mistakes, because, you know, if you do make a mistake, they will be there to cover your mistakes up, and that's something that is critical to any team having success. You know, you look at Tampa Bay, for example, you know, they shut us out 3-0, but I would say that night Vasilevsky was their best player by far. So you need that to be a winning team, and certainly our goaltenders have done that throughout the season, and now Juice has taken it to another level.
Predators assistant coach Dan Lambert has been our guest here on Robbie and Rexha. Dan, appreciate you taking time to join us, and good luck tonight against Carolina.
Thank you very much, guys. Have a great day.
Absolutely. Thanks, Dan. You as well. Predators taking on the Hurricanes tonight. Interesting. Like, I'm glad you brought that question up with him about the guys coming back into the lineup and the buy-in. Like, yeah, Dan Lambert making no bones about it. Like, that's going to have to be there with these guys coming back in. And sometimes it is. Sometimes it's not. I would hope, if you're a veteran coming back into this lineup, as I said before, with guys like Matt Duchene, like, there needs to be an urgency there and a buy-in to playing the way this team's played in the last 16 games.
Thank you for liking my question.
You're welcome.
And yes, it was sort of, you know, coaching side confirmation of what Hal was talking about with Roman Josi.
Yeah.
You know, anybody can get outside themselves when things aren't going well. I mean, the guy said profanity, for crying out loud. And now he's back to boy band frontman, best defenseman in the league, Roman Josi.
Absolutely. When we come back, we will switch gears. Nashville SC kicking off later this weekend. Jamie Watson, Nashville SC analyst, will join us to begin the 8 o'clock hour. That's coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, live from the Wholesale Link Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. You're on ESPN 102.5 The Game.